Jai Radha Madhava Kunabi Rahuti. Jai Radha Madhava Kunabi Rahuti. Gopijanat Malabha Giribhadra Rahuti. Gopijanat Malabha Giribhadra Rahuti. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tera Vanachati Yamuna Tera Manachati Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Rahuti. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Rahuti. Gopijana Ballabha Giribhadra Rahuti. Gopijana Ballabha Giribhadra Rahuti. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tera Vanachati Yamuna Tera Vanachati Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Rahuti. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidikacharya Asatera Sitashi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Huidas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Gaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur. Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopadas Sayam Kunda, Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavanam Ki Jai, Mathuradam Ki Jai, Jagannathasami Kajai, Yamunamai Kajai, Shimani Lasi Devi Kajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kajai, Gaur Premananda Haripo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Nama Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namani. Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravati Pacharani Nivashesha Shinyavati Paschachyateja Tarani. So today we are reading from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 39th chapter, text 23. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sukham Prabhata Rajaniyam Ashishaha Sacha Babuvu Pura Yoshitam Dhruvam Ya Sampravishtasya Mukam Rajas Patake Pashanti Apangalt Kalita Smitasavam Sukham Prabhata Rajani Amashasha Sajabhavuvu Purayoshitam Dhruvam Yasamravishtasya Mukham Rajaspate Pashantya Pangot Kadalitas Mitasavam Sukham Prabhata Rajani Amashisha Sachabhavuvu Purayoshitam Dhruvam Yasambravishtasya Mukham Rajaspate Pashantyapangat Kalitasmitasavam Sukham Prabhata Rajani Amashisha Sachabhavuvu Purayoshitam Dhruvam Yasamravishtasya Mukham Rajaspate Pashantya Pangot Kalitasmitasavam. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sukham, happy. Prabhata, it's dawn. Rajane, the night. Iyam, this. Ashishaha, the hopes. Satya, true. Babhuvuhu, have become. Pura, of the city. Yoshitam, of the women. Dhruvam, certainly. Ya, who? Asampravishtasya, of him who has entered Mathura. Mukam, the face. Vrajapatahe, of the master of Braja. Pashyante, they will drink. Apanga, upon the corners of his eyes. Utkalata, expanded. Smita, a smile. Asavam, nectar. A translation. The dawn following this night will certainly be auspicious for the women of Mathura. All their hopes will now be fulfilled, for as the Lord of Braja enters their city, they will be able to drink from his face the nectar of the smile emanating from the corners of his eyes. So you can repeat, the dawn following this night will certainly be auspicious for the women of Mathura. All their hopes will now be fulfilled, for as the Lord of Braja enters their city, they will be able to drink from his face the nectar of the smile emanating from the corners of his eyes. Huh. That's interesting. You can think about it, you know, like a smiley face. Yeah, yeah, but still it's a funny way of putting it, yeah. So, there's no commentary by the disciples and followers of His Divine Grace of the Prabhupada, but there are short commentaries by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and others. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, this is so astonishing. We have become unfortunate, and simultaneously the women of Mathura have become fortunate. For the women of Mathura, it is an auspicious daybreak. And for us, it is the daybreak of inauspiciousness. The blessings given to them by the brahmanas or their long-standing aspirations have been fulfilled, whereas ours have become frustrated. These women of Mathura will be able to relish the taste of that face, intoxication incarnate, asava, whose smiling glances hinting at secrets are full of the highest ras. Giving up propriety, shame, and fear instantly, they will accept those hints he gives. Then at suitable time, unseen by others, they will directly and completely taste his face. And Jiva Goswami comments, in five verses, the gopis speak in envy. Long-held hopes of the women of Mathura or the blessings of brahmanas have now borne fruit. He should be seen by the people of Braja, Brajaspate, but he will enter into the city. The S in Brajas is poetic license. They will taste the nectar of his smile by their eyes in the form of tongues. Vishnu Purana says, Subrabhadacca rajaniya maturvai vashyoshitam vashantichuta vatrabhij abjam yasham netrali pang tayaha. The night today is glorious for the women of Mathura, since their eyes will see the lotus face of Achyuta. And Sanatana Goswami comments, Long-held hopes of the women of Mathura or the blessings of Brahmanas have now borne fruit. They see his sweet smile endowed with loving glances. The whole phrase could modify the verb also. His special bhavas indicate the good fortune of the women of Mathura. Vishnu Purana says, the same verse, the night today is glorious for the women of Mathura, since their eyes will see the lotus face of Achyuta. So going back to the verse. Sukham Prabhata Rajani Yamashisha Sacha Babuvu Purayoshitam Dhruvam Yaksam Pravishtasha Mukham Rajaspate Pashantya Pangot Kalita Smita Savam. So, Omagana Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, several things before I start talking about Krishna's smile, because I have a lot of quotes about Krishna's smiles here. So first of all, it's mentioned that the gopis were feeling envy of the ladies in Mathura. And we have to really understand and unpack this, that the envy that they were experiencing was not of the same quality as the envy we have in this material world. In this material world, envy is usually connected with some sort of hate, you know, animosity. So in the spiritual realm, although you have these different things like anger and envy and, you know, fear, of course, in the conjugal relationship, you don't have ghastliness. That's not there. But you have these other indirect rasas there, and it appears very similar to what we experience in this material world. You know, and envy, you know, there's an animosity towards someone when we're envious of someone, right? Animosity. You know, we want what they have, but, you know, why should they have it? Or, as Prabhupada would sometimes say, that he may be a Supreme Court justice, but he's not getting any salary. In other words, we want to put someone down. But the gopis, they are not actually hateful towards the ladies in Mathura. But they just want Krishna with them. But they're wanting Krishna with them, that's another point, is not exactly like someone trying to enjoy someone else in this material world. Like, you know, if I want someone with me, or not I, but let's say a theoretical person, you want someone with you, that means you enjoy their company, and it's based on you. It's not based upon pleasing the other person. In general, I mean, sometimes you'll find some mixture like that, but there's not that purity. I want that person with me, or I want this object. And it's a sense of wanting to enjoy that person or enjoy that object. But the gopis, they're thinking of service. Just like you have the five different basic rasas. And actually, I was appreciating yesterday that Mother Urmila was talking about how, you know, rasa samagri, you know, that the rasas are composed of the different bhavas, which is really interesting. So you have these five different primary rasas, and you have seven different secondary rasas. And as you, build up or go from the, I don't even want to say lowest rasa, but, you know, anyway, as you go from Shanta to Dasha, each and every one gets the qualities of the previous one. And not only do they get the qualities of the previous one, but those qualities are enhanced. For example, in Dasha Ras, you have the quality of servitude. But the servitude becomes more enhanced as you go from Dasha, Sakya, Vatsalya, to Maturya. And so it becomes so enhanced that in the case of the gopis, they're willing to give up their own happiness to give Krishna happiness. And actually, in the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where you have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking the Shikshashikan, and Prabhupada gives some really wonderful translations. So there's one verse that if Krishna wants to enjoy another woman, you know, if it's Krishna's desire, so this is pure love. I mean, this is the pinnacle, the topmost aspect of servitude, isn't it? You know, just like, you know, of course, there's a typical story I tell, or Prabhupada told, about Narada Muni going around trying to cure Krishna's headache by getting the dust of the feet of Krishna's devotees. And he goes to all the devotees, and basically they say, you know, oh my God, dust of the feet, I'm not going to give the dust of my feet to Krishna because I'll go to hell, or it's not appropriate, or it's not Vedic. You know, there's so many different excuses. Not only I'll go to hell, because a pure devotee is willing to go to hell to serve Krishna. But so finally he goes to the gopis, and the gopis just like basically almost throw the dust at their feet so that Narada Muni can take it to Krishna and cure Krishna's headache. So that's their mood. You know, that's the mood. That's the mood of the gopis. It's service, and even their apparent envy is giving pleasure to Krishna. It's not just apparent; it is spiritual envy, and it gives pleasure to Krishna. And their motivation is to give Krishna pleasure. So we have to be very careful to not project our mundane understanding upon this. Anyway, so the gopis here are talking about rasa samagri, the vibhava of Krishna's smile. Of course, as it's been mentioned many times in class, vibhava means basically that which stimulates the other bhavas. And of course, their sthayi bhava is the conjugal relationship. And it's stimulating, they're actually projecting, which is actually proper, what they experience when they see Krishna's face, they're projecting it upon the residents or the ladies in Mathura. So sometimes we project things in this world and, you know, atmavatma nite jagat, it's not true. But what they're speaking is actually true. So that's the vibhava. So let's talk about Krishna's smile. I have a lot of quotes about Krishna's smile here, which is really sweet, and actually Krishna's beauty. And then finally we're going to talk about how do you apply in your own life Krishna's smile and Krishna's beauty. I mean, what does it mean for us? So anyway, first of all, I'm going to read the translation that Prabhupada gives in the Krishna book, which is pretty similar. Now all the young girls in Mathura will have the opportunity. They are expecting Krishna's arrival, and they will enjoy his sweet, smiling face and will drink its honey. And so there's a description here in the from the fourth canto, 24th chapter, text 47. The Lord, let me read this. The Lord is super excellently beautiful on account of his open and merciful smile, and his sidelong glance upon the devotees. His black hair is curly, and his garments waving in the wind appear like flying saffron pollen from lotus flowers. I try to picture this. The garments are waving in the wind. I remember years ago when I would dress the deities, I would dress them in such a way that it looked like the wind was blowing. But the pujaris didn't like that very much. Isn't it? One pujari liked it, the other one didn't like it. So I would actually depict as if there were wind on the altar, you know, right around his veil and Krishna's garment. Yeah. So it would appear like flying saffron pollen from lotus flowers. His glittering earrings, shining helmet, bangles, garland, ankle bells, waist belt, and other bodily ornaments combined with the conjugal. These are all stimulations for ecstasy, you know, vibhavas. Some of them are lambana. Well, the actually the or most of these are in Udipanas. Alambana is directly Krishna. So various other bodily ornaments combine with conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower to increase the natural beauty of the Kastuba pearl on his chest. So these are beautiful descriptions. And just hearing them, one becomes enthusiastic to become Krishna conscious. So here's the purport. The word prahasita panga, referring to Krishna's smile and sidelong glances at his devotees, specifically applies to his dealings with the gopis. Krishna is always in a joking mood when he increases the feelings of conjugal ras in the hearts of the gopis, so that his looking in a sidelong glance, isn't it very interesting? Of course, I can't imitate that. But it's just like, it's extremely, you know, cute and attractive. Sometimes, so here's from the another verse from the 10th canto, text 8, 29. Whoops. Where is that? Okay. Sometimes Krishna would enter the house of a neighbor, and this is not so much in relationship with the young gopis. And if he found no one there, he would release the calves before the time of the milk, the cows to be milked. The calves are actually supposed to be released when their mothers are milked, but Krishna would release them before that time, and naturally the calves would drink all the milk from their mothers. When the coward men saw this, they would chase Krishna and try to catch him, saying, "How is Krishna doing mischief?" But he would flee and enter another house where he would again devise some means to steal butter and yogurt. Then the coward men would again try to capture him. We're getting to the smile, don't worry. Saying, "Here is the butter thief, better capture him." And they would be angry. Not that they hated Krishna, you know, but they, you know, like say, hate the sin, not the sinner. I mean, sometimes I'm not happy with certain things that Krishna does. Like when Lord Ramchandra sends Sita Devi away. But I understand the internal thing. But, you know, sometimes even devotees like ourselves can just like, I don't agree with what Krishna did. And they would be angry. But Krishna would simply smile. And they would forget everything. So not only the gopis were inspired by, and the women in Mathura were inspired by Krishna's smile, but all the residents. I mean, not just Krishna's smile, but Krishna's flute playing. It just bewildered everybody. So they forgot themselves. Here's another one. This is about the gopis. Sometimes all the gopis would look at Krishna sitting there. This is also in the 10th canto, 8th chapter. His eyes fearful so that his mother would not chastise him. And when they saw Krishna's beautiful face, instead of chastising him, there's his face again, they would simply look upon his face and enjoy transcendental bliss. Mother Yashoda would mildly smile at all this fun, and she would not want to chastise her blessed transcendental child. So, and there's something by quoted by the devotees from Sridhar Swami from the 10th canto, 35th chapter, which we haven't gotten to yet, from the commentary. Srila Sridhar Swami gives the following explanation of the compound word hasa, which compares Lord Krishna's smile to a necklace. This is really interesting. The word can mean he whose smile is brilliantly clear like a jeweled necklace. You know, of course, the teeth are white. Krishna doesn't need to go to a dentist and have an operation. Or he whose smile is reflected from his jeweled necklaces, because while Krishna plays his flute, he bends his head down and smiles. So he's playing his flute, bending his head down, I guess I'm imitating, and he's smiling at the same time. The word can also mean he who smiles like a jeweled necklace casts its effulgence upon his chest, or he whose necklaces shine brilliantly just like a smile. Isn't that sweet? I mean, hearing about Krishna's smile. That's from the 10th canto, 35th chapter. And here's something from the Nectar of Devotion about the smile. At this age, Krishna is described as follows. The force of Krishna's youth was combined with his beautiful smile, which defeated the beauty, even the beauty of the full moon. He was always nicely dressed, in beauty surpassing even Cupid, and he was always attracting the minds of the gopis, who were thereby always feeling pleasure. Another quote from the Nectar of Devotion. Krishna's attractive features are also described by Brinda, the gopi after whom Vrindavan was named. She told Krishna, "My dear Madhava, your newly invented smile has so captivated the hearts of the gopis that they are simply unable to express themselves. As such, they have become bewildered and will not talk with others." Krishna's smile. "All these gopis have become so affected that it is as if they had offered 3 sprinkles of water upon their lives." In other words, passed away. In other words, they have given up all hope for their living condition. According to the Indian system, when a person is dead, there's the sprinkling of water on the body. Thus, the statement of Brinda shows that the gopis were so enchanted by the beauty of Krishna that because they could not express their minds, they had decided to commit suicide. Nectar Devotion. Another quote is from the Gopal Champu about Krishna's face and smile. "His beautiful face, eyes, and about his different activities here in Vrindavan, we become so much overwhelmed that actually all may be said, Krishna's face is like Krishna's face." Just think about that. You can't compare it to anything else. Krishna's face is like Krishna's face. nothing can compare to it. In this way, the anvaya upama metaphor may be happily used to describe Sri Krishna. As it is said of Sri Krishna's face, so it may also be said Sri Krishna's eyes are like Sri Krishna's eyes. Nothing can compare to them. It may also be said Sri Krishna's face defeats the lotus flower. It may also be said the effulgence of Sri Krishna's teeth is like Sri Krishna's gentle smile. Or it may be said Sri Krishna's gentle smile is like the effulgence of Sri Krishna's teeth. In other words, you're using the comparison of one aspect of Krishna to another aspect of Krishna. Because nothing in this world, nothing can compare to Krishna. These statements mean Sri Krishna's splendor eclipses all other splendors. This kind of metaphor is called upameyo pamana. With this figure of speech, it is asserted that Sri Krishna is more glorious than all else and thus cannot be rightly compared to anything but himself. It may also be said Sri Krishna's face reminds us of Sri Radha's face. It is like a duplicate of Sri Radha's face. Or it may also be said, Sri Krishna's eyes remind us of Sri Radha's eyes. In this way, Sri Krishna's glorious handsomeness is described by the verbal ornament called Smarana Alankara. Sri Krishna is so glorious, he makes us forget all verbal ornaments. He is the kingdom of glorious handsomeness. He shines with great splendor. That's from the Gopal Champu, chapter 34. Just one more here. One from the Madhurya Kadambini about Krishna's face and smile. The symptoms that embellish the sublime sentiments of Bhava are magnificent. The devotee's eyes are constantly inebriated from seeing the beauty of Brijendra Nandana Krishna, his complexion, the color of a monsoon cloud, his pinkish lips. Inebriated means intoxicated, in case you didn't know. His compassionate eyes, the brilliance of his perfect moon-like face with its innocent, gentle smile, and his shining yellow dress and radiant jewels. The devotee's voice chokes up as he perceives the beauty of the Lord and tears flow incessantly, saturating his body. Ooh. So here's one about Lord Chaitanya's smile. So the Lord would cry. This is his trick to get everyone to chant. And the ladies would begin chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, clapping their hands. In this way, all the ladies of the neighboring houses would assemble in the home of Sachimata to join in the Sankirtan movement 24 hours a day. As long as the ladies continued to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the Lord would not cry, but would very pleasingly smile upon them. And then there's the famous quote, when you go to see Krishna's beauty, you forget about everything else, from Rupa Goswami. My dear friend, there is one boy, his name is Govinda. He is standing on the bank of the Yamuna near the Keshi Ghat, and he is playing on his flute. He is so beautiful, especially during the full moon night. If you have any intentions to enjoy this world with your children, husband, or other family members, then please do not go there. So that there's another statement here. So the one gopi says to the other, if you think that you'll enjoy your life more in this material world, then do not go to see Krishna. Do not go there. So this is a different explanation of the same idea. The idea is that if you once see Krishna, then you'll forget all this nonsensical, materialistic enjoyment. That is seeing Krishna. And that's from Prabhupada's book, Journey of Self-Discovery. Now, how does this apply to us? Prabhupada was asked many times about what he considered to be the main enemy of the devotees, which is what? Mr. Lust. Prabhupada actually gave the name Mr. Lust. And devotees sometimes would have some materialistic ways of attempting to conquer lust. I mean, there's even one devotee who wrote a book, The Joy of No Sex. And I remember other devotees, they would fast. There was one devotee who did an orange fast for several months or something like that. Eventually went crazy. But the way to conquer lust, according to Srila Prabhupada, is to see the smiling face of Krishna. Now, how do we see the smiling face of Krishna? Prabhupada mentions here in this letter, regarding your enemy, Mr. Lust, I've noted the difficulties, but we should always remember that Krishna is stronger than any demon, and Mr. Lust, or his father or his grandfather. It's funny, isn't it? Father or grandfather. Lust, anger, and greed, of course. Nobody can do anything provided we take shelter of Krishna very tightly. Now, as far as your personal matter is concerned, you are brahmacharya, you can marry at any time, and in New York, there are all the nice girls. They are actually very suitable for our students, and I encourage that all the brahmacharyas may be very responsible and marry one of the girls, because generally the girls desire a good husband and a good home, children. That is their natural propensity, so we want to show some ideal householders also. But the proposal that marriage will solve the question of lust is not practical. You know, so people think, you might get married, you know, experiencing lust. But it doesn't work like that. Because the lust is in the heart. And it, of course, we know from Bhagavad Gita, Jayato Vishakpulsam Sangastevshi Bajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama, Kama Krota Bajayate, comes from contemplating sense objects. But on the other hand, if we contemplate the sense object of Krishna's smile, then we become attached, enthusiastic to serve Krishna, as Prabhupada points out here. Neither wife should be accepted as a machine for satisfying our lust. The marriage tie should be taken as very sacred. One who marries for subduing lust is mistaken, because lust cannot be satisfied simply by indulging in sense gratification. Kama rupena kontiya dushparena nalena cha. It is compared with that extinguishing the fire with large amounts of petrol. For the time being, the fire may appear to be extinguished by pouring a large quantity of petrol, just one instant. But the petrol itself is so dangerous that any time it could be in flame. So to subdue lust is a different process. Then you have to take to deity worship. I'm sending herewith one copy of The Process of Deity Worship. So Krishna's actually, Srila Prabhupada is saying, you know, here's the cure. You're asking for a cure. A copy of my book, of a book, not Prabhupada's book, we translated or whatever, about deity worship. Krishna is Madan Mohan. You have already stated in your letter, it is very nice, that you would much prefer to channel lower your desires to Krishna, and you ask, how is it possible when enveloped in Maya, seen only material forms? You have also written to say that if you could see the absolute beauty, which is all attractive, then you would not help but be attracted and would scorn mundane beauty. Like that disciple of Ramanujacharya, Dhanurdas. He was attracted by the eyes of his girlfriend. And then when he saw the eyes of the deity, he was no longer attracted by the eyes of his girlfriend, but he still got married. And he was a responsible grahasta, detached grahasta, so much so that even when the brahmacharis took his wife's jewelry, he just chastised his wife because she didn't let them take all the jewelry because she turned over as they were taking. You know, that happens. So Prabhupada says, is all attractive and not help but be attracted and scorn mundane beauty. This is actually the remedy. So you may take immediately to the archana of the deity worship. That's a letter to Hayagriva. So actually this is our remedy for lust. And so one has to take this deity worship very seriously. That doesn't mean that everybody has to go on the altar. But you should be enthusiastic. Just like I come before the deities open in the morning for Mangal Arati. You know, notice there's some people who come like toward the end of Mangal Arati or whatever. But I'm just so enthusiastic. You know, the curtains are going to open. I'm going to see Krishna. Because when I look at his face, and I look at the smiling face, then I forget about society, friendship, love. Not that I'm thinking of it anyway. You know, I forget about it. And then forget about everything in this world, you know, whatever, bodily pains, everything, when I see Krishna's face. So deity worship is absolutely essential, and especially to see Krishna's smiling face. So any questions or comments? Yes.
All right, I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Okay. Yes. That is actually a fact, and not only that, in the kitchen too.
Kitchen and altar, yeah,
because basically, this principle of man is like butter, woman is like fire, or vice versa sometimes.
Well, why are you serving the deity and seeing
the because they're not looking at the deities. They're you know, because it's so strong. So one has to take precautions at the same time. Like a Balavan Indra Grama Vidvan Evahikarshati, right? That even if someone is Vidvan means like full of knowledge, transcendental knowledge, the senses are so strong. And that's why it says that, you know, basically one should be careful even of one's relatives sitting in a solitary place. The sense is so strong that they can take over your mind. So you won't be looking at the deities, you won't be thinking of the deities, you'll be thinking of the person next to you. And, you know, it's very dangerous, you know, when you have men and women on the altar simultaneously at the same time. Then, naturally, you know, you're passing by and touching each other, you know, it's by accident, or looking at the other person. So one has to contemplate Krishna, not the other person. And actually, Prabhupada at one particular point said to his servant, I'm not going to mention the servant's name, don't go in the kitchen in Los Angeles. And he thought, well, it's not that serious. I can just go in the kitchen and cook. And what happened is he got cooked when he went in the kitchen. Yeah. That's fine, you know, husband and wife. But otherwise, it should just be one gender on the altar. That's really important. Confirmed. Confirmed by Krishna. Anyway, so we should now see the smiling face of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by seeing his face, and his face cannot be compared to anything else but his face, but sometimes you can compare it to what? Radharani's face, or Radharani's eyes. So we'll see Radha and Krishna, and we'll conquer whatever lust is there in the heart. Jai Sri Sri Radhagalukananda, Radhagalukananda Ki Jai.
Saraswati Devi Guruvani
shallow days of Charlie Bay. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shiva Sagare Gaurvata Vrindana Shri Krishna Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shiva Sade Gaurvata Vrinda Dwaita Gadara Shiva Sade Gauraka Dwaita Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama say, Dayo ra de da yo ra de, ra de da yo ra de da yo de, Jaya Sri ra de, Jai Om Vishnupad. Paramahansa Paramahansa, all through Teta, Satishi, Srimad. His Divine Grace, Savaya Chatanad, Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Kichai. ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kichai. Anandakoti, Vaishnava Vrinda Kichai. Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Kichai. Prem Sekaho. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindagijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopadas Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturadam Kijai Jagadadasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shrimati Lasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindagijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Buddhale Shri Bhada Bhakti Vedanta Swami Stasis Vati Nivasasis Nivati Pasyakadeja Shikshashtaka. Vijayavadi Jivanam Namburi Padanam Ramadas Padanam
Kala 800 feet of a creep. Bhagavan Mamapi Dur Dive.